Well, let's pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy it is to be your child. We ask now, Lord, as we start this series of sermons on the book of Proverbs, that we would be diligent to seek your wisdom, understanding who you are. And we pray this in Christ's name, amen. So before we start, I provided, if you want to use one, or at the information table, the book of Proverbs printed out, and it's printed out in New American Standard, and right by it is the New Living Translation. I want to challenge you in the 3 months that we're going to be studying Proverbs to read the proverb twice each day with the day corresponding to the day of the week. So today, you could catch up and start reading Proverbs 1, and then today's the 2nd. Then tomorrow, you're going to read the 3rd, and then you'll go around, and obviously, some of the months don't have 31 days, but just you'll figure it out, all right? It gives you a chance to go through the book of Proverbs about 3.5 times while we're done. Now, why would we do that? Because I believe that we live in a world today where the wrong way to live is shouting out to us. And it basically is saying that you are discerning enough, you are smart enough, you are in and of yourself wise enough to sort it all out. And the Bible says we're not. We must seek the Lord. That's what it says. And I've been the pastor of this church for almost 12 years. And I would say this, in my own personal life, in the lives of those who I help to shepherd, it's typically been at times a lack of wisdom that has got us into trouble. I have a car. New cars have all kinds of things built into them. It's telling me, change the oil. And I could say, well, I don't feel like changing the oil. I mean, it's my car, right? What do they know? They're just trying to sell me oil. That was probably put there by the oil companies to get me to buy more oil. You see the foolishness of that? But we translate that into our personal life. I can look at pornography because it's my life. I can be angry towards my wife or my husband or whatever it may be because they deserve it. I can neglect my children because, I deserve a break today. So I'm going to go to McDonald's. That's for old timers, but that's, remember? We live in a world filled with proverbs. Not all of them are in the canon of Scripture. I grew up with my mom saying, think before you talk. Well, you can find that in the book of Proverbs. I found out from my grandfather that the job doesn't get done by looking at it. You find that in the book of Proverbs. I found out from my dad, don't shame the name of your family. You find that in the book of Proverbs. One of my best friends, Stan, said this, excuses cheapen a man. So don't make excuses. Own up. It's in the book of Proverbs. I'm not sure if we can find the stitch in time stays. A stitch in time stays 9. Probably Ben Franklin said that. He said a lot of that stuff. Penny saved, penny earned, all kinds of different proverbs. But we're going to study the things that the Lord said, hey, this will make you wise. And we're going to see the difference between a wise life and a foolish life. The Christian walk is defined as a life of character following Jesus Christ. And here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Let me stop right there. The word careful literally is the word circumspect. circular speck, radar. Walked with a careful radar. Not as the unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Friends, the call after all the great theological truths of the book of Ephesians, that we would walk carefully, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of our time. We just finished the book of Colossians, and here's what Colossians says. Colossians 2, 2-3. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance and understanding, resulting in true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. His prayer for the Colossian church, that they would be filled with Christ and his knowledge of him, who in fact in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The book of James tells us there's two sources of wisdom, and we know that to be true. And so we have a picture here. May seem graphic. One's good, one's not so good, but that's what the Bible says, right? James chapter 3, verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. For wisdom is not that which comes down, from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is pure and peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruit, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Two kinds of wisdom. We know that. We get it's shouting at. In fact, that's the sermon. That's next week's sermon. That these things are shouting at us. The ad buys, the things, even it's everything you look. Someone's crying, "Hey, you need this. You need this." And a lot of that is just the pursuit of things that are unwise. The pursuit of wealth, the pursuit of beauty, the pursuit of fame. That the one who has the most toys in the end wins. It's nonsense. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Friend, it has to do with character. And so there ought to be a difference between those who claim to know God through Jesus Christ and those who don't. And so we're going to look at this wisdom, and it's wisdom that is from above. And I believe that even if non-believers follow this wisdom, blessings will happen in their life. How do I know that? Because I've known people who were happily married for 50 years, more, and they never darkened the door of a church. Now, they should have been in church. They should have been following the Lord. But you know what they did follow? Loyalty and justice and self-sacrifice. Well, these are from above. And there's blessings, even for those who don't know the Lord. Now, let's read this. We're just going to look at the first seven verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. So it's telling us kind of what it's all about. Why are we going to study this? And for myself, and I want you to think for yourself, would this be a valuable study? Once again, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. Yeah, absolutely. Don't you need that in your life? This is the thing that helps us make good decisions, not poor decisions, or disastrous decisions. Then it goes on and says this: to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, and the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. So it's identifying the purpose of it, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive instruction in wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And then it identifies four groups of people. One, the simple or the naive. These people are not too bright. That's like most of us at times, including myself. I'm naive. I want to learn. I don't want to be caught off guard. So to them, I'll learn prudence. What's the prudent thing to do? To the young person, knowledge and discretion. And I would say this is one of the things, and it's not just this younger generation, but it is every younger generation lacks discretion. To the wise, those who have been around a while, the ability to increase in your knowledge or increase in wisdom. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you ever kind of tap out as to, well, I've learned everything there is to learn. Right? No, we're lifetime learners. And we were created to be lifetime learners. So to the wise person, you'll increase in learning. Those people here who are teachers, you ever been to a continuing education class? Probably not. I mean, no. Unfortunately. All right. All right. That's why they're still not teaching that the world's flat. You know, somebody went to a seminar. All right. We have doctors and nurses here. If you were locked into what they knew about surgery or medicine during the Civil War, boy, we'd all be in a hard spot. More people died in the hospitals than they did on the battlefield. So I would hope that most doctors and nurses are going to be keeping up. They're going to go to some continuing education or something, right? And I would say the same for pastors. And one of the things that I take advantage of, praise the Lord, is that when I got my doctorate, my seminary was very helpful. They said, hey, we'll give you one free class to audit for the rest of your life. And I've taken advantage of that, even during times of busyness. Why? Because it says here I can increase in learning. And then lastly, a man of understanding will receive wise counsel. Wise counsel. You may have been a believer for 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, but still you need the help of God to make decisions. And that's what it's about. And so we want to look at here, once again, the definition of wisdom. I'll give you a couple. One, this is from the 20th Century Encyclopedia. Wisdom may be defined as a realistic approach to the problems of life. Okay? Homer Haley said, for wisdom is insight into the underlying causes and significance of the consequences of things, which insight enables one to apply to the best end the knowledge which he has. Okay, that's a bit longer one. Charles Spurgeon put it this way, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. Somebody else said simply, it is applied knowledge. Applying knowledge. Yesterday I was fixing up a shed and I needed to have some windows put in. So I was working with my son because I'm trying to teach him how to build stuff, right? So we're in there and I'm saying, hey, see what you got to do? You got to transfer that load here. We're going to do this and that's how you do it. Now, I could have just not done it that way, but that would have been foolishness. It would have been a foolish way to build. It would have been, somebody would have walked in there, a contractor, and said, who did this? You know? Because you didn't do it right. Well, the issue is we have the opportunity It's applying knowledge, applied knowledge. Wisdom is the insight that helps you decide what's the best thing to do. You're driving down the road. Happened to me today, just driving to church. God gave it to me just as a sermon example. I'm driving along. I get to Highland Springs Road. The guy in front of me going very slow. So there I pull along the side. Well, I'll just go slowly ahead of him. And I did that, and right behind me there's this brand new, beautiful Dodge Ram pickup truck, bright red. And this guy is like on a mission. And I pulled, and I went ahead, you know. And then I could tell this guy's like tailgating me. You know, he's like right there, you know. And inside I'm going, I ought to just slow down even more now. Right? Right? Or I could speed up, go 90 miles an hour and let him know, hey, who really is the boss, you know? You know what I decided to do? Because I was going to be preaching this sermon. I decided to just go the speed limit. And then, you know, and then he got up where you can, and he just passed me. Like, and then he not only passed me, but he passed me with that, he hit kind of overdrive, and he went on, and there he went. And then I thought, okay, how did I do? Well, aren't we tested with this stuff all the time? We have some young people here. They're going to be going off to college. What an exciting time. Pray for them. Why? Because the Lord's going to test them. Are they going to base their stuff on the wisdom of the world or on the wisdom of God? Mom and dad aren't there to hold their hand. Mom and dad are there to pray, and they're always at the other end of the phone saying, I need money or whatever it is, you know, or my car broke. That's fine. That's cool. But here's the thing, is that ultimately the wisdom that we pour into our children, into our family, is money in the bank. That's what the Bible says. It's money in the bank. They might not always, may not always draw from it, but it's there. We know the wisdom comes from many sources. First, it comes from, and we see this in the book of Proverbs, it comes from trial and error. Trial and error. And so there's things that if you did something once and realized, boy, I shouldn't probably do that again. As a kid, I stuck a screwdriver into this socket. Because what it was is the light bulb had broken off. And I thought, well, what I'll do, I'll just put a, you know, get it out of there with the, it arc welded the end of the, you know. So how many of you have a, you know what I'm saying? How many of you have some tool at home that got kind of welded? All right, I see that. All right, and you're still alive. That's good. See, wisdom would dictate, don't do that again. All right? Don't do that again. Sometimes the issue of trial and error is that I'm learning that I'm watching somebody else get electrocuted. I said, boy, I don't want to do that. All right, so that's another way we learn, by watching other people, the counsel of their experiences. When I became a Christian, I came out of, I've shared it a million times, but it's my blessed testimony. I was going to church every Sunday, but on the weekends, I was trying to find a party. Why? Because I wanted to be with the in crowd. I wanted to be bragging about how much fun we had, not knowing how we got home at night. So when I became a Christian, the first time I tried to go to one of those parties again, I thought, man, I just felt like, what am I doing here? And one of the reasons, because there were things that were happening at those parties that were so evil, so out of control. Things that were happening there, I thought, I don't want to put my name towards. People were attacked, abused, beaten. People didn't get home And they, if they did get home, they wish they had never gone. And I thought to myself, I don't belong there anymore. That's what the book of Proverbs says. I have to learn. It's learn things. And so we can learn from those also who've walked life. And we can learn from their mistakes. We can learn from their blessings. Next, we can learn wisdom through prayer and the Word. James chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. It says, you need wisdom, pray for it. You'll be granted. Here we see that we can, it says right here, that we can get wisdom through the study of God's Word. It's wisdom from above. And lastly, and there's a lot of other ways, but you can learn wisdom by following other people's examples. Especially that example of Jesus. Before I talk about Jesus and this issue of counsel from others, I like to read history. And one of the reasons why I love to read history is if I can find out, boy, look what they did. I don't want to do that. All right. So recently I was reading, there's a war. It was a war that happened between Russia and Japan. How Teddy Roosevelt got his Nobel Prize, helping out, sorting that one out. And what happened was the Russians thought it would be a good idea to get their fleet from the Baltic and go all the way around Africa and go all the way to China, and they were going to take on the Japanese. And they got destroyed. And part of it was along the way, it took so much energy to get there that all their ships were in bad shape and their crew was wiped out and they didn't really practice. I mean, you got to practice at shooting guns. And I thought, what do I learn from that? It said, ultimately, the Bible says, before you go to war, before you go to a battle, count the cost. Know what's going to happen. So many times we leap into things without saying, Lord, please show me what I should be doing. Show me the way. So lastly, the issue is that of following Jesus' example. Years ago, I'm not sure who first came up with it, the whole what would Jesus do? And it almost became kind of a catchphrase and almost kind of, you know, but you know what, isn't that a great question? What would Jesus have done to the guy in the Dodge Ram that went blowing around me? Well, he had a couple other options, you know, right? He could do one of those, you know, vaporize them, you know. Send angels, you know, and I don't know, but I'm just being funny. But the fact is this, is that I know this. Here's what it says in Colossians 3:2-3. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. You want to be wise? Then know Jesus. Not just know about him. Like he's on some baseball card. You know the statistics. Okay, walked on water, raised from the dead, you know, healed these people. No. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him personally? As we start this issue, it says this, the beginning, get this, the beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom. A.W. Tozer put it this way, nothing twists and deforms the soul more than a low or unworthy concept of God. Let me read that again. Nothing twists or deforms the soul more than a low or unworthy concept of God. Oswald Chambers said this, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. What does this mean to fear God? There's some verses about it. It tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 29, means to have dread or terror. In 1 Kings 3:28 means to stand in awe, as in reverence. And in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3 means to revere or to respect. Friends, it tells us in Matthew 10:28 that we should fear God and not man. Acts 9:31, the early church walked in the fear of the Lord. Philippians 2:12, we are able to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. In Hebrews chapter 10 and 12, that we should fear apostasy, serving only God in godly fear. Here's the beginning. Everyone look here. Here's the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. He's the king, and you are not. That's how it starts. So whether you're 16 or you're 96, it begins and ends there. He's the king. We're his servants. We've been bought with a price. Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. This is where the Bible says, God's wisdom and God's ways are foolishness to man. And this table is foolishness to man. Why would God so love the world that he says sends his only son? The world believes in power and being bragging about stuff and getting the biggest piece of the pie. And the Lord Jesus Christ came, wisdom incarnate. And he laid his life down for us. Why? That you, each one of us, may have eternal life, our sins forgiven. I'd like to invite those who are the men who are going to help serve. If they've come now, and we're going to share around this table of God's wisdom. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. We ask, Lord, as we go to this table, that we are able to look at it in a way of fear and reverence and honor and awe. One day, Lord, we'll stand before you. Help us, Lord, then between that time and now, that we would walk the same way that we'll walk when we walk with you in white. We thank you that you died on the cross for our sins and rose again. Thank you, Lord, for the life we have in Jesus. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. The wisdom of the world says is that you can obtain heaven or obtain personal deity yourself by doing things. Either doing things or not doing things. The wisdom from above says there's only one way. There's only one way of grace. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And get this, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So as you hold on to this cup, I'd like you to just spend some time in quiet meditation and prayer, asking, Lord, am I living wisely? Are there things in my life that are not wise, and how you may give those over to the Lord even now. His grace is sufficient. The grace and the wisdom of God in this cup. Let us do this in remembrance of Jesus. Amen. Let me encourage you. One of the great lessons from the book of Proverbs that we will enjoy is the blessings that we get as we are givers. And specifically as we give to those who are poor and needy and those who have special needs. And so on the way out will be a special offering, benevolence offering. Let me encourage you to give as unto the Lord. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing, Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom. Some power and love, our God is an awesome God. One more time. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom. Power and love, our God is an awesome God. Heavenly Father, we know you reign with wisdom and love. Help us, Lord. this summer to be students of the Proverbs, that we may walk wisely, we may bring honor and glory to your name. And we just thank you for the privilege we have to study your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Once again, we've got the Awana brunch right next door.